Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander. I'm here to host your show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Now, I assume, is this Lisa London that I'm speaking with?
I certainly hope so.
Right? I'm sorry. Normally, we would have my co-host here, and she was supposed to be doing her chakras, but she is a little bit under the weather.
Maybe that's just the universe telling me that my chakras are doing really well right now.
Maybe. I don't know. Have you ever had yours done?
I did at some really cool bhakti festival in Joshua Tree.
Now, you were, let's see here, you were in the movies like Dragnet and Sudden Impact. Is that correct?
Yes, I was in both of those films.
Did you ever
I should say I am in both of those films because they keep playing.
Well, that's true, but did you ever meet Tom Hanks or Clint Eastwood?
You're kidding, right?
Well, no, kidding. I mean, I don't.
Clint Eastwood,
I mean, I don't know.
Clint Eastwood
people,
directed me and starred in the movie, and Dan Aykroyd, I had all my scenes with him and Dabney Coleman and Christopher Plummer, and Dan Aykroyd. It was pretty amazing.
Well, the only reason I ask that is sometimes people do scenes in movies, but they never do it with the stars. I mean, it's sort of funny. One of the things I remember about Clint Eastwood, and I heard this was a true story, he was on the Tonight Show with Muhammad Ali, and they asked him, they said, have you ever had somebody try to pick a fight with you? And he said that, well, he was on the Tonight Show with Muhammad Ali, and apparently Muhammad Ali said, can you come with me for just a second? And he led him down a long flight of stairs, and then he cornered him, and he got right in Clint Eastwood's face, and he says, can you give me one of those looks like you do in those movies and tell me I've got 10 minutes to get out of town? Yeah, what got you started in acting?
Ever since I was born, literally, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I actually have a background in journalism and sports casting, and I also sing. And I had explored all those kind of in front of the microphone, in front of the camera things, but I never told my parents that I really wanted to act. But that's what I wanted to do more than anything. And actually, when I was a little kid, I used to direct and write my own home movies. Like at 4 years old, my father would film them and they were pretty funny. But I was lucky enough to be dating someone super famous whose agent sent me on an audition for the female version of Animal House called Hots. And it was literally my first audition, and I booked it, and the rest was history.
I think I've seen that movie, but you are right. It does seem to sound like the female version of Animal House.
It is.
You're
that's
right.
Exactly
that's,
what they wanted to do. Yeah.
It was. I never really thought about it that way. But which one were you? Were you the John Belushi or?
I don't know. Let's see how it would. Well, I was one of the stars, and I was kind of the real bratty one, but I also was the brainy one, and I was also the leader of the pack. So, yeah, I guess I kind of was.
I mean, that's really weird. Do you think to succeed in Hollywood, it's really who you know? Or
especially now. I mean, there's always been nepotism, and it's always been a who-you-know town, but there's so much content and so much competition nowadays, and it's so difficult to, you know, to get through the weeds of what's real and what's nonsense that, yes, I think that it is who you surround yourself with, and if you're lucky enough to meet people that can help you get to the next level, and I try to give back as much as I'm, you know, lifted up by others. So, yes, it's definitely that, I think.
The reason I asked that question is many years ago, I was watching Geraldo, and on a talk show he had Gary Coleman. And Gary Coleman was I being asked by one of the audience members, well, when are you going to go on television again? You know, we really, really miss you. And he said, oh, yes, definitely, yes. Definitely, I'm going to be doing a new television show. Yes, yes, yes. It's a done deal, yes. And he made it sound like it was a done deal. Well, I never saw the show. I never saw the show materialize. I never saw him. And what I can't figure out is, why would a guy like Gary Coleman, who's been around, you know, the block for some time, not be able to know the difference between something that's a done deal and something that requires ironing out?
Well, a couple of things about what you just said. First of all, I've been so lucky, so blessed that just about every single thing I've ever shot has been released and released widely where it's really known. But you hear about things that get shelved all the time, and you hear about crazy reasons for something that you would think would be totally successful. It just gets canned, or it just comes and goes, or it becomes, or someone becomes a one-hit wonder, or whatever. There's so many reasons. And it's funny that you mentioned Geraldo Rivera, because I was actually on his show. Jay Bernstein, who is Farrah Fawcett's manager, hand-selected a bunch of young actors and actresses that he thought had star quality. And it was all about what makes star quality. And the amazing thing about it was, out of the thousands of young hopefuls, I wasn't just picked, but so was my best friend, my co-star in Hots, Pamela Jean Bryant, and we had already become like sisters at that point, and we were both picked to be on the show. So yeah, there's no rhyme or reason about what's successful and what's not, but I do believe that if you're talented and if you work hard and don't give up, eventually your lucky number gets called up for one thing or another. And sometimes it's in waves, and nobody's the hottest thing all the time, but you do definitely get your chances if you put the work in.
Now, your name is, you said it's your friend Pamela Jean. Is that what you said her name was?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I guess the thing is that it's hard, because, I mean, it's like, it's almost like, at what point are you able to brag about it to your family, you know? Because if you don't know, it's like, I've heard it happen so many times with so many people that I talk to, that they'll say, well, you know, I'm going to be doing this. Oh, I'm going to be doing this. Never happens, you know?
Like I said, I've been really, really, really lucky about that. Almost everything I ever do is out there. but I also don't tell people about it until, it's funny, I used to say I don't tell people about it until I'm picked.
Until you're what?
I used to say I don't tell people about it until I'm booked, and now I say I don't tell people about it until it's aired already or it's already in a theater.
Yeah, I mean, but the only thing about that, though, is the only problem with that, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this, is it's one thing for something to be in a theater. It's another thing to not know if it's going to be a hit. Like, for instance, I mean, I remember when they were talking about the movie The Karate Kid. There's a, you know, it's like they didn't, the people who made
you never know. You never know what's going to be a hit. I have two wonderful stories about that. A couple of years ago,
okay,
I co-starred in a, hello?
Oh, I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here. Yeah,
okay.
You there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. A couple years ago, I co-starred in a film called Samurai Cop 2 Deadly Vengeance. And I was thrilled to do it because I love the director, Greg Hatanaka. But I honestly surprised on what a huge smash hit it was internationally. And then it became even more of a big hit because James Franco did a movie, The Disaster Artist, about Tommy Wiseau, who's in the movie Samurai Cop 2. So you never know when something's going to be a huge hit or not. And I also started a film years ago with Phil Silvers, and he told me that, you know, look, kid, just keep working and just know that nobody ever sets out to make a bad movie. Sometimes it just happens.
Or sometimes movies will be so, yeah, I mean, it's, because I mean, have you ever thought of directing a film? Or?
No, I don't have that gene in me. I've never wanted to direct, but I do love producing. I produced some successful theater, and I produced a successful cooking show with my sister. And I'm actually one of the executive producers of a film called Black Widow Club that is in development right now with Corbin Timbrook and Shelby Janes, some producers and actors that I star in a whole bunch of other stuff with them, and we're really good friends. And that's kind of a love project that we've got going right now.
Do you find that that this is sort of that there's a lot of male chauvinism in Hollywood, or do you think that is it getting better?
It's getting better. It's always existed. I really don't care about it or buy into it because I know how to handle myself and just keep pushing forward. And
right.
I think it's a pity that there's not more fabulous roles for women and positions for women, because we're really, really talented and we make up over half of the population of the earth. But there's some great things going on out there, and I'm really excited. I can't say much about it right now, but I'm really excited about a all-female helmed television show that I'm hoping to be on this coming year, which is going to be really great.
Oh, wow. Okay, we can't say a whole lot about
it.
But, I mean, it's good. I mean, the idea that you're talking about.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I've heard it said, and this is something that my father thinks, is that if all of, in history, you know, when it comes to war, men have been the ones to declare war, you know, and I'm not
exactly.
saying men, but I'm just saying that we were the ones to do it, and there have been people that have argued that if, you know, if all of the world's leaders were women, we probably would have world peace.
Well, we probably would, because we don't come to, we are so brutal in our, in what we say, that our tongues can lash people a lot harder and yet not kill people. So yes, I think it would be a very good thing to have women leading the world.
You know, I'm going to be having, I don't know if I told you this, and on the 30th of this month, I'm going to be having one of the accusers of Bill Cosby on my show.
No, you didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, and I was wondering, I mean, did you ever run across Bill Cosby? Or?
I actually met Bill Cosby when I was still in high school. I was one of the Bob Hope Classic girls, the Bob Hope famous golf tournament in Palm Springs, because I grew up in Palm Springs. And I've only had a few men in my entire life that completely ignored me, never even looked at me. And I think it's because of my energy being so strong and so, I've just been surrounded by wonderful men my whole life that love and respect me, that the ones that are really creepy, they just steer clear. And the only other person that met me and didn't pay any attention to me that I can is O.J. Simpson. So both O.J. Simpson and Bill Cosby, I met both of them,
oh,
and
sure.
They were completely not interested in me. I'm very, very happy to say.
That's interesting. You basically,
isn't
well,
it?
Hey, you know, isn't it good to know that you know who to repel? I mean,
exactly.
I think
wackos.
Victoria Valentino is going to be really happy to hear that. I'm going to tell her that there's basically, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call her up and I'm going to say, well, Victoria, I talked to a lady that says that she's really good at repelling bad men, and she's oh, that's funny.
That's all I can attribute it to, because don't get me wrong. I've had a couple of crazy incidents where I had to, you know, throw somebody out of a hotel room or whatever, but it was never anyone that was super high up as far as directors or producers. Both incidents, one was an agent, and the other one was the owner of a company that I had a super high-end modeling job with, which is so funny. And it was both instances of where they came to my hotel room and literally tried to barge in. But they didn't get very far, to say the least.
Yeah, I've heard that some people say, you know, we had a model on here one time that basically she told me that she goes, people need to understand that, you know, it is just that modeling jobs are not gotten that way. I mean, you don't go to someone and say, okay, let's go out and let's have dinner. That's what she said. That's just not how it works. Am I right?
Well, okay, that's a tough one to actually discuss, because of course there's legitimate ways that actors and actresses and models were sent on auditions by legitimate authorized agents and managers. And there have been men and women who thought that they could advance their careers by sleeping with people. And sometimes it works for them and sometimes it doesn't. But I've always, from the minute I got here at 19 years old, I made an absolute pact with my own soul that I'd never sell it out. And I've only slept with people I want to sleep with. And it has nothing to do with advancing my career. It's who I'm attracted to. And I've legitimately gone through the proper channels to book every single role I've ever had.
I mean, that's great. I mean, I'm curious, though. Are you familiar with something called IMDb?
Of course. It's the only
way. Well, the only reason.
Yeah, it's the only way to really look people up and see their true credits.
Well, the only reason I asked that question is I have tried using IMDb to get guests. And I look on there and I see their manager and their contact information. And I try calling them, and they never works out. I mean, it just never seems to work out. They always say,
I don't know anything about that.
Are you saying that Facebook is a better way to go about it, or?
I don't know anything about that. That's not in my field.
Okay. I understand. But you're right. IMDb is interesting because I mean, you're right. That's a very good. Right, IMDb is a very good source. I mean,
it's all of those sites are necessary evils too. I mean, actors have to play the social media game. Once I did it, I have to honestly admit that everything started really kicking in, and you know, my career was back to where I wanted it to be after a little bit of a lull when I wasn't indulging in that stuff. So it is what it is. It's a crazy world we live in, and you got to just keep rolling and adapting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, did you ever think you'd be like Katharine Hepburn famous, you know, when you got involved in this, or?
I've been as famous as anybody could possibly be a million different times, as Andy Warhol says.
Right.
She had her 15 minutes of fame. I'm thankful that I have a fabulous career that keeps on going, and I'm actually just fine with not having insane fame, because the times I've had that, it's a definite invasion of your personal parameter of privacy. So I'm loving every minute of where my life is at. And that said, if another humongous thing happens where I'm ultra famous again, I welcome that as well.
It seems like, though, that do you ever feel like there's a double standard in Hollywood, or?
Double standard meaning what?
With men and women, it seems. They're treated a little differently, it seems.
Yeah, but I think we do that to each other. I really do. I don't think that. I also think it's a tricky thing to even say what that is anymore, because our world is getting more inclusive. I mean, you can't deny the fact that we even talk about the fact that there's such a thing called a transgender person when people wouldn't even acknowledge that. So I think that all the lines are getting blurred in a positive way. But then again, there's always negative repercussions about things when it's changing. So I think it's, I just think it's what you demand, how you demand to be treated is ultimately how you will be treated. And it's up to each individual to figure out what that even means.
Right. I mean, it is hard. I mean, I think that with, and it also must be hard when you work on a project that you can't tell anybody. I mean, that must be really
well,
rough.
Yeah, but they do that, these non-disclosure things, they do that more and more now. So it's kind of like I'm just used to it.
I understand, but like I've heard some people say, like Mark Hamill was tortured and he couldn't tell anybody that, you know, he was really related to Leia. But I imagine.
Well, yeah, I just shot a web series in Texas with Lorenzo Lamas, and it's directed by Chuck Walker, and it was this fabulous experience. But yeah, I can't tell anybody anything about it because it's a sci-fi project, and until it comes out, they don't want the crazy twist that happens like in the third episode to be exposed. So yes, I can't talk about it yet either.
Right. I mean, you know, the whole, I mean, it's there's so many of them out there. I mean, it's like, but I mean, is it harder acting or is it harder being in the movie or like directing or being in it?
I don't direct.
Well, no, but I mean, you have been in the creative aspect of it, right?
I've produced things, but I've never directed.
Well, no, that's what I meant.
I love acting more than anything, but I also love producing. I love putting the whole thing together and overseeing everything. And to me, it's just one and the same. I love it both equally.
Yeah. Is it hard? I mean, have you ever, like, I have a question. How would you feel if someone said, you know, if you're in a movie and you get killed, I can't watch it because I care about you so much? I mean, does it bother you?
I've had that happen quite a few times. In fact, in Sudden Impact, Clint Eastwood directed my scene so brilliantly that it's basically a close-up on my face, the whole scene, and you don't see if I die, you don't see if I get raped, you don't see any of the violent, you know, insinuations that are there, but I've had so many people interpret it in so many ways, saying, I hated it when you were killed, or I hated it when you were raped, or I hated it when they hurt you, and you don't really see any of those things. So it's very interesting. It really is.
It is, and
that's my job. That's my job, to make you feel things. So I welcome it all.
Yeah.
Celebrate it. Embrace it.
I've had friends of mine, you know, who are in movies, and it's just too intense, you know, seeing this person that you really care about getting strangled. Does that make sense? You know, you don't want to see it's like, no, don't do that. You know, I mean, it's leave her alone. And
well, I've died in a few films, and yeah, people get upset about it. But that's, again, that's my job, to make them upset in that instance.
No, I understand.
And that means I did my job well too. If it affected them, if they got emotional. And in the same token, when they're laughing their heads off too.
Well, that's true. Now, the laughing their heads off, that's true. I mean, can you give an example of the time when you made someone laugh their heads off?
Yeah, in Samurai Cop 2, Deadly Vengeance. It was the most amazing thing to look around a completely packed theater with people laughing so hard their heads were like rolling backwards. It was just a great feeling. And I also did a play. I did John Patrick Shanley's Where's My Money? I will never forget closing night and hearing the laughter explode from the theater, where we had to keep waiting till we said anything else because they were laughing so hard and so long. It was truly a fabulous feeling.
Well, what was the scene?
It was where a wife who's completely ignored by her husband and she's suspecting he's having an affair, it's where she finally realizes that she's got him over a barrel because she's She's really got the upper hand. And it was just brilliantly directed by Sal Landi, where I come up from a kitchen floor really slowly with a look of sheer murder on my face. And it was after I was crying going down in the same position. And it just created this fabulous moment.
So you were the wife that just realized she had the upper hand?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it is funny. I mean, I imagine it really must have a profound effect on family, too. Because, like, all of a sudden, you're pretending to be this other person, you know?
Yes.
And I was talking to an acting major in college, and I said, I don't understand. I mean, you know, all this other stuff. And they said, no, you don't understand. It's not you doing it. It's somebody else doing it. Is what this person said to me. And I guess it's just, and also another thing another theater major explained to me is that, why is it that, like, a person will come in and do Batman, but then they want to leave, you know, they want to do another role or something. And the lady will say, well, you know, these people don't want to just see you as Batman. They want to see you as the person who can do 5 to 10 roles. Would you say that's true about you? I mean, that you don't want to just do one thing?
I've been really lucky. I've played a vast array of characters. And even when I've had, like, smaller featured roles as opposed to leading roles, they become a pivotal, great part of whatever I'm doing. And but yes, I wouldn't want to play a single character all the time. And that's why I think, as much as I love theater, every time a play is finally done, I'm ready for it to be done, because I'm really ready to move on.
Do you think you could ever, let me ask you this, okay, which would you rather do? Would you rather do the lead role? Would you rather get a chance to do, if somebody is going to do something on theater, let's say, would you rather do the lead role in Gone with the Wind in theater, or the lead role in The Wizard of Oz in theater?
Theater or in a movie?
Well, it would be in theater, because obviously it's been done in the movie twice, you know, so this is just a version.
I don't think they've ever made a play. I don't think there is a play of Gone with the Wind, is there?
I'm sure there probably is. There's different versions of it. There's,
well, I'd love to play Scarlett O'Hara. Of course I would.
Over Dorothy?
Oh, yeah, way over Dorothy.
Why do you say that?
Just because Scarlett's much more in my wheelhouse than Dorothy is.
And Dorothy, you know, it's sort of funny because I've heard people say that The Wizard of Oz has so many plot holes. I mean, like, for instance, you know, at the end of the movie, the good witch says to her, you've had the power to go home all along. And Dorothy doesn't say, well, why didn't you tell me that in the beginning?
Well, I think it's much more cerebral than literal.
Well, I don't know if you ever thought of that, but, you know, I mean, you know, she had the power to go home all along, and, you know, you made her go through, you know. But I think also, also, I think The Wizard of Oz is a hidden message that has to do with, Wizard of Oz or The Sound of Music.
I loved The Sound of Music. That was such an incredible film, and I was so blessed to get to work with Christopher Plummer in Dragnet.
Oh, that's true. You did. Yes, that's true. You did.
I sure did.
I forgot about that. If you had to, so you would choose The Sound of Music over Gone with the Wind?
That's a toss-up, because I love the Julie Andrews character, too. I don't know what I would choose there. I'd have to really think about that.
I've heard people say that they did not like the movie Citizen Kane for some reason. I never understood. I mean, they actually have. I've seen movies.
I loved every moment of that film.
Of Citizen
And
Kane?
when I yes, and when I traveled to Morocco, I actually went to Essaouira, which is where Orson Welles holed up while waiting for the money to finish Citizen Kane.
Well, I will tell you this. This is one thing that I've heard. I've seen a list of movies, a list of great movies of all time, and it was like top 100 of all time, and number one was Citizen Kane. I mean, it was – the only reason I would think, you know, a movie like The Wizard of Oz would be number one is you cannot pretend to have seen The Wizard of Oz if you haven't seen it. You understand? I don't know if – I mean, Citizen Kane – people don't really remember the plot of Citizen Kane. Everybody, Gone with the Wizard of Oz is probably the most widely known film there is. Because, and I think it's because I think if you sat a kid down and you had him watch Citizen Kane, as good a movie as it was, or if you sat him down and you watched Gone with the Wind, as good as the movie as it was, I don't know if they would have the attention span for it. The Wizard of Oz, it's all these flashy characters, you know, a lion, a scarecrow, and all this other stuff. You could probably watch it if you're 10, you know, but I don't think 10, do you agree with that statement, or?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's hard, though. I mean, they should know what's going to work. Now, is a producer somebody who puts forth the money? Is that the difference, or?
No, that's the executive producer.
Okay, but if you're the producer, are you?
You're in charge of everything, and you hold it all together, and you put all the components together.
Okay, and how is that different than the director?
The director tells everyone what to do on the set. Actors, crew,
Okay. Everyone. Okay, in other words, the producer is off the set, and he sort of says, okay, yeah. Okay,
right,
bring
behind
in
the scenes. Exactly.
In other words, the producer would tell Steven Spielberg, okay, all right, do this, go do your stuff. I didn't think about it that way. I've always sort of wondered. And they also use a lot of words that I never really understood. What's a he grip? I never heard of that term. Are you as active as you used to be?
Active meaning what?
Like, are you still acting as much as you used to be?
In acting?
Yes.
Oh, God, yes. More than ever lately. It's been incredible. I did a film in Florida this year with Bobby Carradine. I did the web series with the Lorenzo Lamas. I did a Lifetime movie directed by David Dakota with Eric Roberts and Vivica A. Fox called The Wrong Teacher. That's coming out soon. I've got a huge commercial print campaign running, and I did my first haute couture modeling job for Sensations magazine, which is pretty fabulous. I'm pinching myself, counting my blessings, working a lot.
Now let me ask you this, which is more fun, drama or comedy? Because I noticed Sudden Impact, that was a drama. Dragnet was a comedy.
Honestly, I love both absolutely equally. No ifs, ands, or buts. I love doing both.
Really?
And every set, every stage I'm on is sheer bliss for me, even when it's difficult, because it's what I love to do.
I gotcha. I mean, it is good if you're doing what you love to do. I mean,
that's right.
You know, because if you're not doing what you love to do, then it's just not much fun. I mean, I think actually probably the upside of all of it is there's no telling what you're going to get to do. Like
I love the fact that around the corner is another mystery all the time. I love that.
Right. And sort of like in one movie you can be a fairy, in the movie you can be and then in another movie.
Absolutely.
You can be, so that's sort of the mystery of it.
And the places I get to go, if anyone would have told me, I'd be starring in a commercial print campaign for weeks in Poland, Czech Republic, and Slovakia, I'd go, what? It's great.
Do you know any Czech? Do you know any Czech?
No, I do not.
Oh. It's sort of... Well, do you know which movie was fun to make, more fun to make, Sudden Impact or Dragnet?
Honest to God, they both had as many laughs on the set, as many challenges, as many wonderful moments off camera. They both have so much.
Okay,
probably, if I want to say what set was the most fun I've ever been on in my life, it would probably be Private Resort in the Florida Keys. Johnny Depp, Andrew Dice Clay, Rob Morrow, Hector Elizondo, Leslie Easterbrook, a virtual who's who of just fun people. That might be
the Andrew Dice. Yeah, I've heard that Andrew Dice Clay, that it's an act, that he really does treat that Andrew Dice Clay
is
an act.
He's a doll. He's one of the coolest men, and he loves women, and he respects women. He's just the greatest guy.
What he does, I think if I had to compare what he does, I would sort of compare it to a professional wrestler almost. You know,
absolutely.
I mean, it's like you see the character, you know it's not real. You know that this, like,
absolutely.
Hulk Hogan doesn't go home and you go, he doesn't do that. And, he was, yeah, he is funny. He is hysterical. But some people just, they didn't have the idea of knowing that it was a joke, that what he does is a joke. That's the funny thing about it. I don't get it. I mean, I could see him doing a lot of stuff. Andrew Garcelli doing a lot of stuff. And it's, what was I going to say? But I mean, like, now when you did Sudden Impact, what was it like when you first met Clint Eastwood?
It was fabulous. I met him on what was a callback, but I had already been told by my agent at William Morris, Ed Mitchell, that I had the part, but I still had to meet with Clint. But he had already okayed me. I went through his wonderful casting director first, Marion Doherty, who basically changed the rules of casting. She was such a trailblazer. But anyway, I'll never forget walking into his office, and he just made me feel absolutely at ease, and he just told me a few things that he wanted out of the character and for me to just think about it until I showed up on the set in Santa Cruz.
The Sandra Locke died recently. Did you know that?
I know she did.
Yeah, she apparently, her death was announced. And actually, one of the fun facts about Sandra Locke, me and Sandra Locke, we have the same birthday.
Aww.
We were born the 28th of May. I don't know. I always thought her and Clint Eastwood look good together. But I always liked Clint Eastwood because Clint Eastwood had this sort of thing where he would just, my father told me, he said, he's a policeman who never asks for bank up, you know. But
exactly.
Was your best moment on Sudden Impact when you got to meet Clint Eastwood?
No, I would say the best moment was after we were done shooting and he told me that I was a fabulous talent and that I wasn't just beautiful, that I had something really special, and that I also had a wonderful, responsible work ethic, and he loved that.
That's a great compliment to hear from him. I mean, to come from him.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I saw a list of, like, the top actors out there, you know, all time. And number one was John Wayne, and number two was Clint Eastwood. And I actually often wondered why, you know, Clint Eastwood and Jack Nicholson never did a Dirty Harry movie together. But that's another question. He never did.
Yeah, mine was the last one. Sudden Impact was the last one.
No, that's not true. The last one was the Deadpool.
No, that's not a Dirty Harry.
Yes, it is. The Deadpool was a Dirty Harry movie.
No, I think Sudden Impact was the last Dirty Harry movie.
Let me check here.
So, Jonathan, we have to wrap it up soon. I forgot that I have to go to the recording studio tonight.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Well, listen, it's really great having you on.
Thank you.
I hope you can come back and that we could have your chakras cleaned, okay?
Sure, why not?
All right, I hope I did okay on the show. You know, it was a little bit off of kilter, you know. Actually, I just checked. Deadpool was a Dirty Harry movie.
What year was it?
It was 1988, and it was the fifth installment.
That's funny because I was just told that Sudden Impact was the last one.
Okay.
But you're right. If that's chronological, that would be the last one. But I don't think it did anywhere near as well as Sudden Impact financially, though.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I'll go ahead and wrap it up. I didn't realize I had to leave suddenly, but I will keep in touch with you, okay, about you coming back on and having your chakra son, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Hello?